There are a lot of true crime podcasts out there, and I have 30 seconds to convince you why you should check out Crime Lines. Crime Lines is one of those shows that just lays it all out there. The backstory, the legal context, and details of cases you haven't heard before. If you hear about a true crime case and want to know what happened and why, you're my kind of listener. You can check out Crime Lines wherever you get your podcasts. That's Crime Lines, one word, and get ready to dive deep.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Basford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio, Facebook us, facebook.com/cruiseradio, and sign up for our monthly newsletter at cruiseradio.net.
Coming soon, Cruise Radio premium content. Just about got that ready for you. We've been going through the archives and looking for all the unedited versions of the interviews. We're basically giving you access to everything. So one thing that's cool about this is if you want to just specifically search an interview without hearing, you know, the whole show and combing through all that, you can just find it right there, click on it, and hear that one particular interview.
Yeah, it's all available on demand for you.
And we're going to start out with a 7-day free trial for you. And after that, give you an introductory rate of $1.99 a month. It will go up after the first of the year, so jump on it quickly. It's really cool stuff.
On this show, we'll be talking to Sherry Laskin. Sherry just returned from a 2-month European trip, and believe it or not, she didn't take one airplane. It was all buses, trains, and ships, and river cruises.
Yeah, she took the transatlantic cruise across and did that whole deal. And she, by the way, she's known as Cruise Maven on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we got Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy, as always. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug. How's it going, you guys?
Very, very good. So, looking forward to this. The new celebrity, I should say the fifth in their Solstice class ships coming out, the Reflection.
Yeah, it's exciting news. It's the fifth and hopefully not the last, but it is the completion of a $3.7 billion project. And to reflect on all of their ships, they aptly named the ship the Celebrity Reflection, which I think is very nice.
How will this be different from their other ships? Not so much. Any kind of additions?
It'll be very similar to the all five ships are very similar. As you know, Eclipse is a little different than Solstice and Equinox. I mean, as they come out with ships, they do make some minor modifications to the interior, and they make improvements and expand them fleet around the rest of the ships, and then take some of the best and put it into some of the refurbishments on their older ships. So, as each ship comes out, there will definitely be some new, I'm sure, new attractions, new amenities that will even appear on the fourth ship, which will be Celebrity Silhouette, which she debuts in 2011 and Reflection in 2012.
And, Stuart, I was reading on the Norwegian Epic, they're starting to charge more for the Cirque Dreams and Dinner Show. Why is that?
Doug, the Cirque Dreams and Dinner Show has been so popular. Now, a lot of people are still misunderstanding. This is not entertainment. NCL is not trying to stick it to the passenger. This is a specialty restaurant that happens to have an excellent show, similar to maybe the Teppanyaki restaurant. They're just not cutting up shrimp tails. But this has got a full-blown show that has just been all the rage aboard Epic. And because of the popular demand, they feel they can easily justify charging for more money for some of these seats, where some of the floor seats will be going from $20 to $30, and some of the balcony seating from $50 to $20. It's not that big a deal, but it was important that NCL felt they needed to go ahead and raise the pricing. Why? Because they could.
We always love hearing from you, the Cruise Radio listener. You can email comments at cruiseradio.net. This from Suzanne in Fargo, North Dakota. She writes, does specialty dining on ships require a reservation, and can you book the reservation before you sail?
I always recommend people, like when they're doing the cruise, Matt, to book as early as you can. You can always attempt to make adjustments later on, but it's very hard to negotiate with something that you don't have.
Yeah.
And a lot of the lines, a lot of the ships actually allow you to make reservations online in advance, and it's really a smart thing to do. But you can also make the reservations on board, and if you're in the higher categories and there's a concierge on board, they can also be of assistance. But the specialty restaurants do book up very, very quickly, especially during the peak dining time. So it's definitely something you should to do in advance.
And again, you can email comments at cruiseradio.net. Hang tight, man. We'll get Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy back later in the show with your hot deals.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio. Follow me. Yeah!
We're here with Sherry Laskin, or known in the online world as Cruise Maven. Sherry, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Sherry, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you've been on the show before, but it was way back when we first started. We have, like, you know, 40,000 more people now listening. So tell us a little background about yourself.
Well, I started in the travel business about almost 20 years ago from my home in snowy Michigan. I was in the basement looking up at the snow falling, and I'm doing all sorts of interesting things, building websites and starting from scratch. And pretty soon I was the Yahoo site of the week.
Nice.
That's back when there were no sites, so the competition was pretty narrow.
Right.
But and I just kept building on the cruise end of it and getting more and more involved. My first cruise was 1960-something, and I did a Trans-Pacific with my parents.
Nice.
From Los Angeles to Honolulu, when you could do that before the Jones Act.
Right.
And I've just been hooked ever since.
Okay, so recently you just did a European trip. You were just, like, all over the map. Every time we checked into Twitter or Facebook, you were popping up here, popping up there. Where exactly did you go, and when did you go?
I left Fort Lauderdale on April 27th and went to New York for 2 days, up the East Coast, picked up more people there, more passengers, and then we made a sharp right turn and headed over towards London.
And which ship was that on?
It was on the MSC Poesia on a 17-night transatlantic voyage.
Now, we were talking off mic. You don't fly, right?
I don't fly. I gave up flying about, 15 years ago. I decided I'd rather be a surface traveler.
Right.
And I've been doing everything I can just to keep that going. I just don't want to fly anymore.
Okay, so you went on this big European expedition. What kind of planning was involved in doing that?
For April 27th departure, I started July of the year prior.
Okay.
And basically, it's almost like I was telling you earlier, it's like dominoes. You
right.
have to have one trip backed up to another, and I was taking ships and trains and buses and everything else, and I had to make sure that I can get from point A to point B to eventually point L.
Sure.
And not have to
right.
miss a connection, because then you're toast.
So you were talking about the domino effect. Did everything, was it all in sync for you?
Pretty much. I mean, weather plays a factor in trying to make connections. The ship that I was supposed to pick up in Marseille, because of bad weather, couldn't dock in Marseille and had to go to Toulon.
Okay.
And so I got to the station, the terminal in Marseille, to find no ship, and so did about 14 other people, but the cruise line was right on it, and they had a bus that took us an hour and a half over to the other side of France, and we picked up the ship there. But aside from that, pretty much everything fell into place. The trains were a little scary because I don't, you know, I remember my high school French, and that's about it, and it's not like Amtrak, you know, it's different.
I've read where they have gassings, or is that common overseas? People, we won't go there?
No,
okay. All right, go ahead. You were kind of like,
Well, it was scary. I had done a little bit of research prior to my the train part of it, especially. I had to get from Marseille to Paris. My river boat was beginning in Bucharest.
Uh-huh.
So I had to somehow get from Marseille to Paris, Paris to Munich, Munich, Vienna, Vienna to Bucharest.
Okay.
And so the overnight portion, the first one was Paris to Munich, which was... Still, it's not like Amtrak. There's no dining car.
Uh-huh.
The restrooms are at the end of the corridor. But it was. I felt very secure. They have a little pass key to get in and out of the room.
Okay.
But the section from Vienna to Bucharest is a Romanian train that mm-hmm. really reminded me of something from Dr. Zhivago.
Okay.
And it was not, again, I keep saying it, but I'm so spoiled from Amtrak that when I saw my room with a platform bed and a thin mattress, but it had clean linens, The point you asked me about was, do they have some strange happenings?
Yeah,
well,
right.
It's fairly lawless, I think, in my humble opinion, in Romania. And I had heard a rumor that in the pre-war days, or mm-hmm. pre-war, just when it was still trying to get ironed out, people, intruders, would stop the train in the middle of nowhere, get on the train, put cans of gas in the ventilation system in the sleeping cars,
uh-huh.
knock everybody out, break into the door, rob and plunder, and then leave, and no
wow.
one knew what happened.
Oh, my gosh. A few minutes ago, you mentioned river cruising. How much different is river cruising from, like, a transatlantic sailing on a big line?
It's a totally, totally unique and wonderful experience. If you haven't tried, you should really put river cruising on your agenda. You're on a boat with four decks, three passenger decks and a sun deck, maybe 130 cabins max. Mm-hmm. You know everybody. It's just a totally different experience. It's calm. It's relaxed. There's no queuing up for huge lines. And you stop in the city centers in most instances rather than... I always like to say when you're on a cruise in Europe, you're traveling on the edges of the countries, edges of continents. And... river cruising puts you right in the heartland of the countries.
And that's because the ship's so much smaller, so we can get up in the little rivers and inlets. Is that
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. The ships are small. They're narrow. It's sometimes when you go under some of the bridges, going from, if I have it correct, Vienna to Amsterdam, there's 66 locks that you have to go through.
Oh, cool.
Which is amazing to watch. But by like number 55, it's like, oh, another lock. But you get sort of conditioned to it. And the bridges that you go under are so low that the captain's watch area, the bridge actually collapses. It's on hydraulic lift system, and it collapses, and they take all the railings down on the sun deck, fold down the lawn chairs, and you barely skim by the surface.
That is too cool. So if folks are wanting to travel abroad, like what would your advice be to folks, and what did you take from this trip?
Lots of souvenirs. it's a great, great experience, especially if you want to try to do a total non-flying Europe adventure. It's possible, and I'm the first person that could say I'm planning to do it again next year. You just have to get your pads of paper and get on the internet and make all your connections and make sure that you have them in stone because... as you asked me earlier, you know, the domino effect. You miss one train, you could be out because they sell out. The compartments are...
out of sync. The whole trip could be out of sync.
Yes, yes. And, you know, leave a day before each cruise just in case.
Did you stay in any hostels along the way, or was it mostly hotels?
No, there's no S in my hotel word. It's
okay.
No, if there is an S, it's at the end of hotels.
Oh, gotcha.
But and I stayed two nights in Romania, in Bucharest, at the Radisson Blu, which was a beautiful place. And then I spent three nights in Aix-en-Provence, in the south of France, in an 800-year-old convent turned hotel.
Nice.
Which was an incredible...
Amazing, I can imagine.
Just amazing. Even the keys to the rooms were like the old skeleton keys.
Oh, cool.
And you have to hand them into the front desk when you leave, and they say, merci. And you come back and you claim your key to get back in. And then at the very end, I stayed three nights in London in the Kensington area. I've been to this hotel. It's the John Howard Hotel. Mm-hmm. And it's two doors down from where Benny Hill used to have his townhouse.
Oh, nice.
So it's you can hear the little music in your head when you walk past the townhouse. You had asked me earlier what my takeaway was from this trip. Mm-hmm. And I think really it's just being able to meet so many interesting people from different countries. And when you're, and again, I can't say enough about riverboat cruising because you do form alliances and bonds with people, and you pal around in traveling solo.
Right.
They always take me under their wing, and they always ask me to sit with them or go on the shore excursions with them. So I've met so many friends. It's just been fabulous.
And the last leg of your trip, you came over on the Norwegian Epic, right? From Europe over to New York. How was that?
Well, the first two nights was the inaugural for just Brits. I was probably the only American on the ship, and it was a riot. They were just so much fun. And it's interesting to see how an inaugural takes place. Then I stayed on the ship. I changed cabins, and I came back from Southampton to New York on the Epic, like you said. And it was fun. It was a revenue sailing, which means passengers had booked their fare. It wasn't travel agents. I was probably then the flip side was I was probably the only travel agent leaving out of England on that. But it was a great ship. It held the. It was very smooth for the size and the shape and the outside. If you look at it, it's almost box-like.
Yeah, it's very boxy.
Very boxy looking. But we didn't have the smoothest weather and smoothest seas, and we had fog, like pea soup, for about 4 days, and you could not see a thing. I had a beautiful balcony. You look out, you can't see anything. It's a little eerie, you know, and you're crossing over the Titanic area and you think about it, but good ship.
So when you're crossing over, like where the Titanic actually sank, do they make mention of that on the ship?
It depends. I've been on a couple of transatlantics where they will put it in the newsletter that at such and such moment they're going to be passing over within a mile maybe of the area, and they'll have a bell salute. and a moment of silence or something like that. Some captains probably prefer just to pass by and not say anything rather than, you know, put funny thoughts into passengers' heads. But yeah, so it is recognized once in a while.
So how did you get from New York back to Florida?
I was on the Amtrak Silver Service. It was the Silver Meteor from New York City to Winter Park, Florida. It's my favorite route. I take that quite often when I have to catch a ship out of New York or Bayonne, New Jersey.
Okay.
And it's really simple. It's an 18-hour, basically about an 18-hour ride. You get on at dinner time and you get off in the morning. So you stretch out in your compartment and you just relax and you can unwind and decompress.
Very cool. She is Sherry Laskin, or known on Twitter as Cruise Maven. And what's your website again?
CruiseMaven.com.
Sherry, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Doug. It was great.
Have a question for the experts? Or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East.
Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Let us send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number one. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1 or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number one in cruising nationwide. Cruise One.
Our next guest is owner and manager of Piedmont Cruises. He is Mike Peluso. Welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We had covered this in a past show, family travel, traveling with children, and we want to cover with you specifically traveling with babies. First of all, how many of those do you have running around?
We have one. He's our first, and he's right at 1 year old.
Congratulations. It's very exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting. It can sometimes be very loud, too.
I have a 5-year-old daughter, and I'm telling you, when they hit that age, it even gets more magical. We want to talk about your travel on the Costa Atlantica. Before we get to that, though, do you have an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
Have you downloaded the Costa app?
No, I have not.
Should we be getting money from Costa for this?
Yeah, probably so.
It's a cool app because what I love about it is they have a webcam off the bow. And so it was really neat to see where they were and get an actual live shot of looking out the bow.
Yeah, I actually did that right before our cruise. To get my wife a little psyched up, I would go on to the Port Everglades website and I'd say, hey, there it is. And then, you know, the next day I'd say, next week we're going to be here. And it would be the webcam from Key West. Little did I know that we were going to be in Key West the coldest period in the last 100 years.
Well, tell us about traveling with little Aldo aboard the Costa Atlantica.
All right. Well, the first thing, and most parents know this, is when you travel, the reason why most parents have minivans is because there's so much stuff that you have to bring. I mean, we're talking baby things for the diapers. My wife had to have this special little bathtub. There's the pack and play, the cribs, the toys. It's endless. Now, he was 6 months old. When we sailed, he was literally two. You have to have a child at least 6 months old before they'll let the child on board the boat.
Right.
He was 6 months and 2 days. I mean, this was the absolute first sailing we could get on any ship, and it just happened to be 2 days after he was legal to go on. And what we discovered, and this was pretty great, is that they have tremendous amenities on the Atlantica and many different cruise lines for the children. And, this is a sort of a mid-age ship. The Atlantica came out in 2000. It's a Spirit-class ship. And you don't think of them as having all these great amenities. They had playpens and cribs for the rooms. They had the baby bathtub. They even had a diaper pail that was covered for us, and they changed it out every day.
Nice.
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, it was all set up in the room when we went in, and the guys were really great about it. You know how, for those of us who are seasoned cruisers, they'll set up the bed and they'll do a little animal or something with the pillows. They actually did that with Aldo's bed too, and in his, they would actually fold down his little blanket just like they would our bed every night. It was very, very cute.
What other unexpected services did you find?
Well, one thing that the line did that I thought was just tremendous is they were very, very accommodating to the fact that we were nursing Aldo and my wife had the pump. So she was pumping him, and we had a few, there's things that go, and most nursing moms know this with the pump, that you'll have your bottles and you'll have a little cooler that the bottles fit in. Sometimes she would pump in the middle of the night while he still was asleep. And what they would do is we would put the milk in the little bottle and stick it in the little ice chest inside the room. And the milk didn't really touch anything. It was just in a bottle in the ice chest. When we would come back after they refreshed our room, what they would do is they would actually refill the ice and dump out the cold water, refill the ice, and put the bottle right back where it was.
Nice.
So it stayed nice and cold.
That's cool.
Another great thing that they offered to do, and it was just, I cannot explain how great this was. Even though we could throw some stuff in the ice chest, we had this little pack that had the freezer. You could freeze the walls. It had sort of like the ice pack built
right
into the walls. Every night, they would take that pack from us, stick it in the freezer, and every morning, they would turn around and they would deliver it to our room at 8 a.m. so we could put in our milk bottles and head off.
Wow, that's cool.
It was. It was super duper cool. I really appreciated what they did because it made our life easy.
Yeah.
We're juggling a child. It wasn't just them. There was quite a bit of people who were bending over backwards for us. I got to say something about the crew and the passengers. The crew, and you don't really think about this till you have a baby and they all just start with their stories, but we all know that these people sign up for 2 month, 3 month, 4 month, 6 month, 9 month contracts, really long contracts.
Right.
And many of them are doing it because where they come from, this is really good money and they're trying to provide for their families. Sure. And they miss their families.
Right.
And boy, do they just fell in love with Aldo.
Totally.
Now, granted, it helped tremendously that whenever my son saw somebody, he put on this big baby Gerber smile. I want you to know, and you probably know this, when you have a child, you lose your identity.
Right.
Every single passenger on that ship knew Aldo's name within 48 hours. And I actually had, hi, Aldo. How you doing, Aldo? At one point, Aldo was taking one of his naps. I'm walking around on deck. I had people get up, walk all the way across the pool deck, look at me with this mad look in their face and say, "Where's Aldo?"
Yeah, you are invisible. We want Aldo. Give us some of the downsides or the areas for improvement.
I really would have liked to have seen some more formal support of babysitting.
Yeah.
I even went there. I went in. They said, "No, we're sorry. He has, Oasis. We all know has the facilities for the infants." But they don't have anything for that on some of the older ships.
Right.
And I would have loved for them to have had somebody who is good with babies, not afraid to change a diaper. I even said, "Hey, off the record, I know officially you don't support this, but is there anybody who wants to work for a few hours when their shift is over?" And they said, "No, we just don't do that. The child has to be potty trained, or we just don't take them." As far as that, so that was, that meant Michelle and I at 8 o'clock at night we were in bed because that was Aldo's bedtime, and come hell or high water, we are going to keep him on that schedule.
So, right.
And then I got to say, dinner time, those dining rooms are fairly packed, and this is not a problem with the cruise line per se. It's a problem with us. We were just very sensitive. If Aldo was having a fussy night,
yeah,
we just wanted to pull him out of there. Just because we knew other people were paying for their vacation. This was a once-in-a-lifetime. And they were very, like you said, very congenial. It was almost like a group of friends, ad hoc group of best friends. But they said, "Don't worry, babies are fussy. I have 10, I have 15. But we just we just know that nobody likes a screaming baby. So there were quite a few nights that we just said, well, you know what, let's just wolf down our meal and get out of here because he's not having a good night.
Well, you know, you definitely offer hope to those parents who are on the fence about traveling with their babies or toddlers. And, you know, you prove obviously that it can be very, very enjoyable. And obviously, depending on the cruise line, but you say Costa Atlantica, basically, what would you give it a grade all in all?
I would give them a B+. The only reason that they didn't hit straight up A was because of the lack of that baby care. Would have loved
right.
to have had a babysitter just two nights. But otherwise, every other aspect of that ship was fantastic. They bent over backwards for us. They had the physical things that we needed. They supported us in that regard. The crew was great. The people were great. Once we got south of Cuba, the weather was good.
Yeah. Good.
Not that that's their fault. The ship was clean and neat. Even the entertainers, the piano bar guy, picked up Aldo and was playing piano, sat him next to him and was playing piano.
That's cool.
So,
tell everybody your wife's name.
Her name is Michelle Peluso with one L.
You're an awesome dad. Mike Peluso, owner and manager of Piedmont Cruises. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very, very, very much. And it was great to be here.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio.
Each episode, we feature Porthole Cruise Magazine's Picks of the Week.
This week's Porthole Pick heads out to sea, specifically aboard the new Norwegian Epic, which just launched 2 months ago. In case you haven't heard the buzz, this ship is all about entertainment. From the brand new Cirque Dreams and Dinner Show to Legends in Concert to Howl at the Moon Dueling Piano Bar.
But the one not to be missed show has got to be Blue Man Group, the famous threesome of, well, blue men who entertain the audience with out-of-the-ordinary comedic stunts, high-energy music, and other very high-tech special effects. It's very hard to describe this act until you're actually a part of it, and yes, it is a happening. But the Blue Man Group, who earned their claim to fame performing in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, and other worldwide cities, are so much fun and a very unique addition to cruise ship entertainment that you'll only find on Norwegian Epic, minus the price tag of upward of $100, which you'll pay at other city venues.
One more tip, if you choose to sit in one of the first few rows of the show, know that you'll be in the poncho section where you'll be provided with a plastic cover-up just in case.
Because it'll be raining blue men.
Hallelujah.
Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, is back with your hot deals.
Here's a deal in Disney. They tend not to go together. You know what I mean? But now through December 16th,
yeah.
Disney Cruise Line's Disney Wonder, catch her while she's still here because she is gone, heading to the West Coast.
That's right.
In December. So through December 16th, you can do 3- and 4-night Bahamas from Port Canaveral, which is the port for Orlando. Visiting Nassau and their beautiful private island called Castaway Key. They've got pricing starting. You ready?
I think so.
$399 per person.
Nice.
And for Disney, you've never seen a price lower than that. And then I actually had some people ask me, well, you mentioned 7-night Eastern and Western Caribbean from Fort Lauderdale. I'm unfamiliar with a 7-night Southern Caribbean out of Fort Lauderdale, and that's because it's new.
Huh.
It's a new itinerary. Visiting Holland America's private island called Half Moon Cay. Then it goes down to Aruba and Curacao. So in 7 days, you'll have 3 ports. It's a great itinerary, and it avoids you having to spend more than 10 nights to get to Aruba and Curacao or having to fly to San Juan. So it's a great opportunity to catch a Southern Caribbean for a week. Another great deal coming up in November when Celebrity's Constellation comes back from Europe. For the next several months, she's going to be doing alternating Caribbean itineraries, 14-night Caribbean itineraries out of Fort Lauderdale, where it's really a combination of the Eastern and Southern Caribbean. To give you an idea, it'll go St. Martin, Antigua, St. Lucia, Barbados, Grenada, Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire. And these 14-night sailings are starting from only $949 per person. And it's a great opportunity to get on a longer sailing for less than $1,000. And coming up in January, we mentioned the delivery, upcoming delivery of Cunard's Queen Elizabeth. Well, the previous Queen Victoria, is actually going to be in Fort Lauderdale between January and March, doing 11, 15, or 17-night Caribbean or Panama Canal cruises out of Fort Lauderdale or L.A. And they've actually got a really nice 11-night round-trip cruise out of Fort Lauderdale where, I mean, they've got pricing that was around $26.99 that they're running some deals as low as $1,495. And Queen Victoria is a six-star ship. She is gorgeous. And it's a great opportunity to experience one of the nicest ships in the world.
Thank you, Stuart Sheeran, the Cruise Guy, found at cruiseguy.com. Next week, I'm stuck in the studio.
Again?
Yeah, what's going on here? Just because you're the founder doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, then. Yeah, Doug will be on the Celebrity Solstice, which is my absolute favorite ship. Very slick, good-looking, with very attractive and well-behaved passengers who dress nicely. So, not sure what you're doing on there, Doug.
I know, right?
But look forward to that. Oh, Celebrity has a new Solstice-class ship.
Yeah, they just recently announced their fifth Solstice-class ship. It's called the Celebrity Reflection.
And hopefully I will be on that one next time.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/cruiseradio. And sign up for our monthly newsletter at cruiseradio.net.
So much feeling and emotion in that.
Isn't there, though?
From the Cruise One Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.